Luke and Acts are parts 1 and 2 from the same storyteller. Where one part ends, the next begins, with a bit of a recap and some extra details filled in. In Luke 24, it looks kind of like Jesus rose, appeared to the disciples, and then ascended right away, as if Luke was working hard to pack all of the highlights at the end of the papyrus. In his sequel letter, he stretches out the timeline for us readers. Jesus has had 40 days, he said, with his disciples after his resurrection, speaking to them about the reign of God. In Acts, as in Luke, Jesus tells his disciples to wait in Jerusalem for the promise of God, a powerful promise. The Holy Spirit would descend once Jesus ascends. And then Jesus' disciples ask, Lord, is this the time when you will restore the kingdom to Israel? Jesus is talking about the kingdom of God, but they want a timeline for the kingdom of Israel. Jesus answers with one of his signature non-answers. It's not for you to know times or dates that Abba God has decided. Jesus isn't going to tell them the timeline they are looking for. Instead, he tells them what to do with the time they have. Wait here for now. Don't try to be rushing ahead before you've been equipped with what God knows you need. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. Then you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, throughout Judea and Samaria, and even to the ends of the earth. Ascension Day is on the liturgical calendar 40 days after Easter, in other words, this past Thursday. It's just before Pentecost, next Sunday. And these two celebrations and stories form important parts of the story of the beginning of the church. In both the end of Luke and the beginning of Acts, Jesus is once again explaining things to his disciples. Even being witnesses to Christ's resurrection leaves them still connecting the dots, which might be reassuring to us with the distance of time and culture also often still connecting the dots about Jesus. Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures, Luke writes. Which is great, actually. One commentary shares Luke's larger point here is that there's a difference between knowing scripture and truly understanding it. And even the most well-informed scripture-quoting Christians, even the disciples here, these Jewish followers of Jesus, need Jesus as a guide and teacher in order to grasp the essential good news. In other words, it's never simply about what the Bible says. It's always about understanding it wisely. So Jesus opened the disciples' minds to understand the scriptures that they already knew well. And in a moment, or within 40 days of that moment, he would lead them out toward the Mount of Olives, to the village of Bethany, and he would leave them. And for a moment, or maybe longer, the disciples just gape at the sky. Until two messengers dressed in white stood beside them and said, "You Galileans, why are you standing here looking up at the sky? Jesus, who has been taken from you, this same Jesus will return to you in the same way you watched him go into heaven." The disciples are at a transition point between life as it was and life as it has been promised to be, and it has rooted them to the spot with the question of, but what now? When Tim and I talked about the scriptures early this week, he shared with me an understanding that he has found helpful, and I do too. That is, the moment I'm in now is not only this moment. The moment I'm in now is not only this moment. We can easily focus on just one moment in time, even being so overwhelmed by how we perceive the time we're in that we forget its place in a longer story. We might become sure that this moment will sink us, forgetting how we have risen from the depths in the past. Or you might be so worried about performing perfection in this one thing that we lose sight of the hope of where it is taking us and the grace on the journey. Jesus came speaking of the kingdom of God, which is somehow both present and coming, already and not yet. AMBS professor Rachel Miller Jacobs once said, "The kingdom of God is not a place you go, it's a place you come from." Somehow it's past and present and future all at once. Living in the awareness that God reigns and will reign literally makes this present world a different place. So is this the time, Jesus, when everything will change? Now or later? Or did we miss it? Well, it depends what time you're talking about. Time for our own prescribed notions of how God will work in the world? That's not the question that Jesus is answering today. But is it time to be still and watch for God's sure movement in the world? It is always time for that. The disciples are in a time of change when they need to hold together, remembering what Jesus has taught them in the past about the reign of God, so they can look around and within themselves and recognize God's presence among them, and then trust the promise of the power and a vocation that will send them to the ends of the earth in the near future. And somehow all of these times, past, present, and future, are held in the single moment they are in. So, for just a moment, I think they're not sure which moment they are in. As they stare up to heaven, are they dwelling on Jesus' departure or awaiting his return? And the messengers in white say, "Yes, he has left. Yes, he'll come back. But why are you standing here?" It's a lot like the messengers in Luke's gospel who come to the women at Jesus' empty tomb and ask, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? Jesus is not here. Why are you standing here?" I was going to call my sermon, "Are We There Yet?" Whether you've had or been a child, who isn't familiar with that refrain? And really, how many of us, you know, still carry that refrain around these days? Are we there yet? Are we vaccinated yet? Are we out of lockdown yet? Can we gather as a church yet? These disciples are chomping at the bit to be somewhere, somewhere next. Is this the time, Lord? Is this it? But Jesus tells them to wait with the teachings he's given them and the promise he's given them. And I think the right question is, are we here yet? Are we able to embrace this moment and also not only this moment? The fullness of this moment for the disciples includes Jesus' words of past and future. John baptized with water. You will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. What does it mean to live fully here with this memory and this promise in hand? Jesus hasn't given them a timeline, but he has given them each other. And in their years together, he has given them a life of shared prayer. So this is where they return. When they're told to wait, this is where they go when they don't know exactly where they're going yet. With one mind, they devoted themselves to constant prayer. In Luke, it's written that they were continually in the temple blessing God. Are we here yet? Not dwelling on the past or prepping for the future, but just here in God's presence with God's people now. The story of Jesus' ascension has much in common with the ascension of the prophet Elijah. In that Hebrew Bible story, Elijah's mantle fell to the ground as he was taken up, and the mantle was picked up by his successor, Elisha. Jesus, too, has bequeathed his mantle to his successor, his community of followers, who have become the church. A commentary reminded me this week that the church is a community that not only follows Jesus in the sense of listening to him and learning from him, we also are a community who follows Jesus in the sense of succeeding him, of taking up his mantle and carrying on his life and work. It is like the words that Paul wrote to the Ephesians, that God has put all things under Christ's feet and made Christ as the ruler of everything, the head of the church, and the church is Christ's body. Christ's physical body disappeared before the disciples' eyes at the ascension. And yet our living, breathing, proclaiming, peace-building is the life, breath, proclamation, and peace of the very body of Christ. The literal translation of Acts 1:1 explains that Luke's first volume covered what Jesus began to both do and teach, suggesting that Jesus' work continues in the stories that Luke is about to tell in Acts of the teaching and ministry of the disciples, the apostles. Rick Pow wrote a song for HMC's 50th anniversary in 2002 that I think expresses this understanding of being the body of Christ. If you're a guest with us today, you'll see Rick on the classical guitar. Let's listen to that song for a moment.
The church is a refuge in a spinning world, offering an anchor through God's holy word. The church is a dwelling place where we're reminded of God's grace through faith.
Yeah.
We are all sojourners here. We're just passing through. Are we here yet? Are we able to be present to this moment that is also not only this moment, holding it all in constant prayer? Though the bonds between us may feel stretched and worn as we are physically apart from one another for so long, can we be here yet, embedded in this church community? If it's not the moment for looking up toward heaven, can we look and notice who is around us, even if it's mostly in spirit? For the promise of God's Spirit comes to the gathered, praying community. Maybe we wish to be gathered in this building here, but remember the words of Rick's song. In the end, Christ is most near when doors and walls will disappear, leaving faith, hope, and love. Doors and walls do not contain or define our community right now. So what are the gifts that are still present in this moment, despite the losses that may root us in place some days? Are we here yet? Because the Holy Spirit will come here, upon us, among us, within us. This is what the Spirit does. Next Sunday morning, our Pentecost worship will be by Zoom, and we will hear live stories or just a few words, short or long, from anyone who has a word to share about how you have seen God's Spirit moving. Maybe it's a rhubarb delivery on your front porch, or maybe it's being helped by a neighbor that you never spoke with before. Maybe you've discovered a deeper prayer life. Or maybe you've been encouraged by movement happening on social issues in our communities. God's Spirit moves both quietly and boldly, like a breeze and like a flame. And when we share these stories with each other, the Spirit is present, and we are the living, breathing, igniting body of Christ, holding the past and the promise together here, with great joy, continually blessing God. May it be so.